I want to again greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. I want to come this morning blessing you for being here. And my prayer is that, I guess my wish, my desire is, we had prayer, Dana just had prayer a little bit ago, that wasn't the only prayer that you prayed for our service this morning. I hope you've been praying all week about our worship service together. It is so important. 2 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago rather, I shared a message about moldy bread. I shared a message about deception. And I'd like to today go to the opposite side of it. Today I titled my message, The Bread of Life. John 6:35 says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. Last time I preached, we looked at the importance of being alert to deception. And we looked at the account of Joshua, where he was deceived because he looked at the moldy bread that they had instead of seeking the Father. Joshua 9:14 says, and the men took their, I said victuals. Who knows how to pronounce that? V-I-C-T-U-A-L-S. Okay, that's what I would have said too. Somebody corrected me. It is pronounced V-I-D-L-S. Vittles. I thought that's just for the Old West. That's in Scripture. And the men took of their vittles and asked not counsel of the mouth of the Lord. They didn't do like the Bereans did. The Bereans checked everything out, making sure that what was shared, that what was said, was of God. I gave you two ways to be proactive against deception. The first one was to be in the Word. Spend time feeding, understanding what Scripture has to say. That was number one. The second one was to be willing and to be open to the brotherhood, because we need each other. We talked for just a tiny bit about two men, Hymenaeus and Philetus. And 2 Timothy talks about them who concerning the truth had erred. And we didn't go into any detail about that, and we're not going to this morning. But the next verse, I want to set that verse this morning as a beginning here. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. What do you think about a foundation that is sure? It's unmovable. It is strong. It's something we can build on. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And then it says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. His foundation is sure. It's something we can build on. He knows His children. And if we're His, we need to turn away from evil. And this is what I really want to focus on this morning. Walk in truth. What is truth? If I ask you what is 2 plus 2, what's the answer? 4. Truth. We know that's true, don't we? It doesn't change. 2 plus 2 is 4. Let's look at what truth is in Scripture. I'd like for you to turn to John 14. And as we go through this message this morning, I want you to be thinking about truth. And I'd like for you to think about your own life. Don't look at the person next to you. Think about your own life. As we look at truth, is this where I am today? Nobody here can sit here and point fingers at you, but I want you to look inside. And I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning. Am I living in truth? Who is truth? John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus speaking to his disciples here. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. I love this little passage here. Jesus was telling the disciples, I'm going to leave. There are many mansions, and I'm going to go work on this for you. A place for you to be. Then in verse 5, Thomas says unto him, Lord, we really don't know where you're going. And we really don't know the way. So Jesus came back and he said to Thomas, and probably to all the disciples there, he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Jesus explained to who he was in these three words. Way, truth, and life. And I had to ask myself the question, do I really believe that Jesus is the way? Do I really believe that he's the truth? That he's life? Ask yourself that question this morning. In your own heart. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. See, the fact of the matter is, and this is kind of negative, but the fact of the matter is, I like to use Jesus as my tow truck. I like to walk life living for myself. Let's be honest. I like for my week to go good. I like for everything to pan out just perfect. And if I think about it, I'm going to contact Jesus somewhere along the way, and I'm going to commune with him a little bit. If I think about it. But as soon as I land into the ditch, as soon as the tire blows out, as soon as I have a little accident, I'm going to call the tow truck and he's going to come help me out. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's not willing to be my tow truck. He says, yes, call on me and I will answer you. But he wants that to be an open communication all the time. He doesn't want to be your tow truck. How many times do I use him as my tow truck? Get me out of the ditch, God. I messed up again. Yeah, we do. But he wants that communication every day. He doesn't want to be our tow truck. John 16, let's see what he wants to be. Turn to John 16. It's just a little further than 14 there. Verse 13, 14, and 15. Let's see what he wants to be to us. Verse 13. Howbeit he, the Spirit of truth. Here he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. This is what he's going to do. When he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He wants that communication all the time. He wants to be our guide. He wants to tell us, this is the way to go. And he wants us to hear him and to obey him and walk with him. For he shall not speak of himself, talking about the Holy Spirit here, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify, glorify me. For he shall receive a mind and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Jesus talking here. He said, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Jesus is explaining to the Holy Spirit, giving the Holy Spirit here what he is to share. The Holy Spirit hears him. And we hear from the Spirit. Through his word. Through prayer. Now I'm going to read a couple of verses out of Psalm 25 and I want you to think about these verses. I want to ask you again to think about these verses in your own walk of life. Psalm 25:4 says, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Show me thy ways, teach me thy paths. I want to know, I want to learn. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all day. Am I teachable? I love old John Deere putt-putts. We've got a lot of them go past our house. I have a Facebook page that, trying to remember what it's called. My family laughs at me. Because occasionally, they're going to hear putt-putt coming out of my phone. Because I love to turn it on and just listen to them. I would love to learn what makes a putt, putt, putt. I like to know how they function. I don't know much about a putt, putt. It was the first tractor I ever drove, but I don't know how to tear them apart and look at them to see what it takes to repair one. I would probably go to Tom. Tom could probably tell me. I'd go to Mr. Yoder up there, Levon's neighbor. He could tell me. John David Yoder could tell me how a putt-putt functions, how to take it apart and how to fix it. But I wouldn't learn unless I'd be willing to allow them to lead me through what it takes to tear it apart and what it takes to fix it. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Am I teachable? Am I able to learn what he has for me and to wait on him? Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to be looking a little bit at what happened with Adam and Eve here. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to be beginning in verse 16. Now this was before Eve came on the scene. It says in verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat." Here he gave him a command. Adam, he says, you can eat anything you want to in this garden. I can't imagine how beautiful it was. But anything you can eat it. But he said, there's one thing you cannot touch. And that's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then he makes a promise. He says, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You think God's going to stand with what he says? He's truth. He's going to stand on that. Sometimes I wish God wasn't so, not sure what the word is to use here. Maybe I should say not so strict. Why can't he just be a little more wishy-washy and allow me to do a little bit more however I suit? But did you know there's freedom in obedience? There's freedom in obedience. There's confidence in walking in his ways. It's a great comfort to know that he is just. So here we have Adam. He was given this promise that if you eat of it, you die. Now we're going down to verse 26, a couple of verses down from there. And it says, and they were both naked. Eve is now on the scene. We have Adam and Eve together. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Talking about them being naked together. It gives us the idea of integrity. There is no shame. There's nothing to hide. Because there was no sin. And I believe this is how God wants us to be with him. That our hearts are open. Nothing hidden. He can see it anyhow. I find it interesting as children. We do things, we think we can hide it. But mom and dad see it, don't they, so many times. As the children of the Father, so many times we do things that we can hide. We think we can hide and we forget. God's watching. I'm reminded of the story of the dad and his son. The dad was a dishonest man. The neighbors had watermelon, so they snuck in through the cornfield in the neighbor's field. They're going to go get some watermelon. And as they go through the cornfield, they come to where the watermelon patch is, and the dad walks over to the edge, and he peeks out of the corn to see if anybody's watching. And he hears a soft voice from his son, "Dad, you forgot to look up. God sees everything. We can't hide from him. He is truth." There's a joy that we experience as we walk with hearts that are open and free before Christ. We've repented, we've received his forgiveness. And then Romans 8 tells us that there's no more condemnation to them which are in Christ. To those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is truth. This is truth. We go a little bit further into Genesis 3, right? Come to the next after Genesis 2, there, verse 1. Genesis 3, 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And it said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Here he's planting just a little bit of doubt in Satan's, in Eve's heart. And the woman said unto to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And then the serpent comes back to the woman and says, no, you're not going to die. You shouldn't surely die. For God knows that on the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Here we have two forces working against each other. Do you experience the two forces in your life? We have the force of the Father, the Heavenly Father, the truth, working with us. We have the force of Satan, the father of lies, working against. This would be a good place to go and talk about the armor that we're going to wear, but we're not going there this morning. But the fact of the matter is we have a choice to make. If we choose truth, if we choose the force that comes from God, we're going to have life. Eternal life. But if we choose the force from Satan, the easy route out, we think, we're going to find eternal damnation. And it is so important that we take into consideration in our life, where are we at? What are we listening to? Truth or lies? We go on a little bit further in Genesis 3, verse 8, and said, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. Now there was sin, so they hide themselves. No longer is there integrity. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Integrity lost. God said to him, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Adam knew better. Adam had the commandment from God not to eat. And I think he shared that with Eve. Because when God had asked Eve, she knew. Verse 13, then the Lord God said to the woman, what is it thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. The serpent brought her doubt. And she was deceived. Many times in my walk today, I'm convinced, and I shouldn't be, but I'm convinced that the thoughts that I face from day to day, God should just step in and remove them. And He does. He does help us. I found the thoughts that I think of, they're negative thoughts, there's something about praying out loud. God comes and He takes those thoughts from us. In Philippians chapter 4, you don't have to turn to this, I'm just going to read it. But God has given us the ability and He's given us the responsibility to think positive thoughts. Pure thoughts. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. True is the first thing that He mentions. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. In the verse 9, it says, those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I say that word, do. Because I believe as we walk with the Father, as we learn to love the author of truth, as we learn to love truth itself, there are things that we want to do, we want to live out because we love Him. We want to obey because we love Him. Do I love the truth? John 8:31. Maybe you should just turn here. We got a couple more scriptures to turn to here. John 8:31. Jesus had been talking here to those that hated Him, scribes and Pharisees. And then in verse 31, it says, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, He said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you like freedom? We have freedom here as a country. We can meet here this morning without a problem. But do I have freedom within? Is my heart free? Or am I sitting here on these benches this morning, and I'm not pointing fingers by no means. I'm talking about myself too. But am I sitting here, am I standing up here this morning, and I look like I'm free, but within, I'm in bondage. I'm not finding that joy, that happiness that we can have within. We're missing out if we don't know that joy, that happiness. The verse that I have listed right here, and a few with it. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world, the life that we want. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And then Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. I'd like for us to look at a story this morning. A story that many of us know. A story that gets to be an old story from time to time, I guess. The woman at Jacob's well. And I'm not going to go through here and point out a whole lot of things, but I've got a point I'd like to make at the end of this. But let's read through beginning at verse 1. Let's begin reading here about what was happening. And when Jesus therefore knew how the Pharisees had heard that... When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. So if we think about the fact that Jesus was down in Judea, above him was Samaria, and Galilee was above that. And he wanted to go to Galilee. Samaria was not an area they wanted to travel through because the Samaritans and the Jews did not get along. Jesus could have, like all the rest of them, he could have gone up close to Samaria, he could have gone over and crossed over the Jordan, he could have gone north and crossed back into Galilee, but he didn't. He went through. He had a divine appointment to make. Verse 5, Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, it was about the middle of the day. He sat down on this well. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were going away unto the city to buy meat. It looks here like Jesus was by himself. So he asked this lady, he said, Give me drink. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Give me the water, then I won't get thirsty anymore. I won't have to come out here and get more. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, Mount Gerizim here, And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And as I read through that, I have to ask the question, is my spirit in communion with the Spirit of the Father? Am I worshiping Him in spirit and in truth? Questions to ask ourselves. The woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I love this phrase. Trying to put myself there with Jesus. I'm not so sure what's happening. She says, I know when He comes, He's going to tell us all things. And then Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. I am the Messiah. This morning, He's our Messiah. He's the same Jesus. Verse 27, And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. Here we have a woman that had a face-to-face encounter with Christ. What was her response when she had this face-to-face encounter with Christ? She left her water pots and she went back to the city. What did she do in the city? It says in the end of verse 28, And saith unto the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I don't know, were these the men that were outside the gate, the ones that were in charge of the city, the ones that made the laws, the ones that judged? Often they would sit out by the gates of the city. I don't know if that's the men that she went to or who it was that she went to, but she went back to the city and said, I have met someone. He knows all about me. Isn't He the Messiah? Let's go on over to verse 39. It says, And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. And then they asked Him to stay there for a couple of days, and He did. It says, And many more believed because of His own word. So here's where I want to take us this morning. We know the truth. There's none of us here this morning that would say, I have no clue what the truth is. We know the truth. We've got the Word in front of us. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. We know the truth. This woman had a meeting face to face with the truth. She went back to her people, back to her city. And she began talking about who she met. This is where I want to go with us this morning. We have the bread of life. We know what He is. But we love to keep Him within us. It's hard for us to share Him. This morning I want to encourage you this week. Share Jesus. Make it a goal every morning to pray, God, bring somebody into my life today that I can share Jesus with. Francis Chan said, I really began knowing what it was to walk with Christ when I started sharing Jesus. Share Jesus. I'm going to tell you a story about Pastor, trying to remember what his name is, Robert Morris. Pastor Robert Morris, after this story, we'll close. Pastor Robert Morris was looking for a car, so he went into the internet and he looked at different places. He found a phone number, he called this one dealership, and they had a car that he really liked. So he went out and he looked at it, he drove it, he talked to the dealer was very kind to him, he bought the car, took it home. When he got to the car dealership that day, he said there was a heaviness on his heart. He knew he needed to share Jesus with this man. Have you felt that? If not, I hope you do. He knew he needed to share Jesus with this man. He took the car home. A week later, he called him back up. And it says, "You remember me, who I was? I bought that car." He said, "That car is doing so good for me." And he wanted to thank him for the good experience. "You were a man that really showed me, I would guess I would say probably love." He showed him, he wasn't bullyish like some car dealers are. I hope we have no car dealers here today. I don't think we do. But he was very nice to him. And it was a good experience. He said, "I just want to thank you for that." And the guy's like, "Okay, I normally don't get calls like this, but yeah, thank you." A couple weeks later, he called him back up. He said, "Hey, I'm in the area. Would you do lunch with me?" He said, "Yeah, I'll do lunch." So they went out for lunch. They had a good time talking. They talked about hobbies. They went their separate ways. Pastor Robert continued to do this with this man for a while. He would call him. They would go out for lunch. And he was building a relationship. 3 months down the road, they met. In their conversation, finally the car dealer asked the pastor, he said, "What do you do?" He said, "I'm a pastor." He said he kind of sat up straight. Well, the car dealer said, "Can I tell you something?" He said, "Yeah, you can tell me something." "Many, many years ago," he said, "when I was a young boy," he said, "my neighbor, he was a pastor's son, invited me to go to church." He said, "I went to church with him. He said it was such a good experience. I was learning to know God. I was just a young boy. But," he said, "something happened. The pastor's son and I broke into one of the classrooms and we destroyed the classroom." He said, "The next Sunday, the pastor called me up front. And he said, this young boy here destroyed a classroom here. And he got my son to help him. He looked at the boy and he said, 'You are a bad boy.' He said, 'I want you to leave this church and I don't want you to ever come back.' And he did. He said, 'I haven't been back since.' But he asked the pastor, 'Can I come to your church?' The pastor said, 'Yeah, you can come to my church.' First Sunday he came, he gave his heart to the Lord." I know this is a story that tugs at our hearts. We don't all have that experience. But the fact of the matter is that he heard a call. He listened to that call. And he shared Jesus. Look at all of us sitting here this morning. Look at me standing here. We all have an opportunity to share Jesus. Every one of us. What if we took that opportunity this week and we shared Jesus with somebody? It's going to change somebody's eternity. That's the call I'm putting out this morning. We have the bread of life. We have the water so freely. We're accountable for what we have. Share Jesus and live like He wants you to live. Would you stand with me this morning?